Coming up in a little bit this week, and also a special activity in October with the Elyria Fire Department, we have with us the Union President Dean Marks to talk about a fundraiser you have this week for a colleague. Talk about that and what's the importance of that.
Unfortunately, probably about 2 months ago, we had one of our colleagues, firefighter Dave Borthwick, was driving into work. He's only 48 years old, and he had a massive stroke. So he's currently in the hospital now. And, you know, he has a wife and two young daughters. So obviously we always take care of our own. So we were very fortunate, actually, to have a neighbor of theirs that owns the Antlers Ballroom in Lorain donate that to us to allow us to have this event. That's going to be on September 5th. Dinner's from 6 to 8 with an auction to follow. They actually had asked if we could auction off some firemen. So that's going to be the big event of the day, I think, out there. So obviously we're doing this to raise money for the family with the medical bills that are building up for them. So,
now, what does that mean, auction off a firefighter?
We found a couple guys that were willing that are single that would go out on dates with the highest bidders. So
I thought they would just hang around the kitchen in case something was happening with grease or maybe the barbecue that might be going on.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're hoping to make some good money off of it for the family. So,
and then again, that's, you said, coming up on Friday, right? That's
this Friday, yeah. Anybody wants to, there's more information that's also on our Facebook page, which is Elyria Fire Local 474, so they can look on there if they want to find any more information. There's contact numbers for tickets also.
You talk about the bond you have with each other, and it develops because you have work schedules that kind of put you in different situations where most of us come to work, we see our colleagues or whatever, but for you, you have long periods of time to get to know each other, isn't that right?
Correct. We're actually there for 24 hours, so it's our home away from home, so everything you essentially do at home, it's there with those guys also. So, and of course, we have a job where, you know, 1 minute we could be joking in a firehouse, and the next minute, you know, we're all depending on each other, so got to always have our backs.
You have a special invitation-only program coming up in October, which is kind of a unique thing. Talk about that.
Correct. What they call it is a Fire Ops 101, and it's essentially what it sounds like, a college course. But it's we put it on, and what we're trying to do is it's a unique opportunity for local leaders and decision makers to have, you know, a hands-on experience with the job of what the firefighters do. I mean, we all see it on TV, but to actually be in there and experience it, these people will be able to actually put the gear on, the breathing on the air. They'll go inside. They'll fight an actual fire with a flashover simulator in there. Obviously, it's all controlled, so it's safe for them. But they get to be in there. They feel the heat. You know, they get to extinguish the fire with a fire hose. A lot of times what they do is a lot of people think that, you know, that's all we do is fight fires, but this actually will go one step further. We kind of do an all-hazard response. So we'll also do a search and rescue in a low visibility, which essentially would simulate if there was someone trapped in a fire, trying to get that person in and drag them out and see what it actually entails. It's not just an easy task, but, you know, people might think. We also do the vehicle extrication. We'll have cars there, so these people will have the hands-on with the, you know, as everybody's heard, the jaws of life. They'll be able to cut the cars apart, open the doors up and try to get the trapped victims out. And then last thing we do is we also do medical emergencies. So they'll have an opportunity where they'll go through what's called a cardiac arrest event and see what it takes and how, you know, much it involves with doing all those things. So they'll have it's an all-day event, you know, from 8 to about 4. Starts out at our station number one, just kind of give them a hands-on and let them know exactly what they're going to be going through. And then from there, we just go out to a training site out in Elyria Township. There's a training site out there, a simulator, so we're going to use that right off of Murray Ridge to do the whole event at.
In your release, you mentioned a day in the life of. Is there a typical day? Is every day different?
I mean, there's... You know, in the beginning, for 8 in the morning when we get in there, it's a 24-hour shift. We'll have things that are from 8 o'clock to about 4:30 that are, you know, doing building inspections, checking the hydrants, going over the trucks, making sure they're kept up. So usually from 8 to 4:30 is a semi-typical day. Obviously, we're on call the whole time, so it get interrupted by a call that we might have. But no, I mean, that's probably one of the big things about our job is you can come in there one day and maybe just have some medical calls, and the next day, you know, you're running out to go to a fire. So it's always, it keeps you on your toes and make sure you're ready for what's coming up next.
Do you know why firefighters have shifts like that? I mean, is that a Is that because it allows you to sort of settle in and then just be prepared? Or is if you had so many changing shifts of sorts, it wouldn't kind of be so cohesive? I've always wondered why that, because that's one of the few occupations that kind of has that sort of, set up for that.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, and I hate to say it this way, but I'm sure someone made the decision because it's based on it's probably the cheapest way to do it. Typically, our guys are working a 56-hour work week just for the regular pay. There's no overtime involved in that just by pulling those shifts. So, departments around the area and the country, typically work somewhere between 48 to 56 hours, depending on what they've, obviously negotiated with the city leaders. But I think that's the reason. Obviously, someone has to be on call at all times, and I think it's beneficial for the city that, these guys are there at all times and, working those extra hours with actually not being compensated at the time.
Dean, what was it that prompted you to become a firefighter?
I was originally a medic in the Army, and I think I like doing that thing and helping people. And you get asked that question a lot, and I don't know if it's, we don't consider it a job, and I'm sure you've heard that before. It's more of a calling for us. We obviously like to go out there and help the people, and that's what we're trying to do. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think the guys like to get out there, and they're kind of hands-on guys and physical. But they also want to help people, and I think they put those two together and realize, it's something that they want to do.
In the fall, the city is asking the people to help you out, in a sense, putting a tax increase on the ballot for the safety forces, fire and police. Your thoughts on that?
Obviously, we know that there's a ton of needs in the fire department. Unfortunately, we still have our fire station, two down on East Broad, that is still closed. We've been, getting along by using federal grant money that I actually made a trip down to D.C. and talked with them down there and showed them our needs that we have here. And they, was very fortunate. We were actually awarded the grant twice. That is ending in the end of the year here. So obviously we know our needs are. We still have to fight the same fires. We got to, go on the same calls that we've been going on. That's just the manpower aspect of it, but we have, vehicles left and right that are going down daily. I think at this point right now, we don't even have a backup truck if we needed one. So we're relying heavy on, a lot of the things that we have now that we need to continue doing. Like I said, the calls aren't going away, and we still need that manpower, to get there as soon as possible, to have the manpower to do what we need to do to, not just fires, but, medical and any other calls that we might get.
When it comes to fighting fires, Elyria has a lot of older homes, some really older homes, yet you have new construction as well. Does the new construction versus the old construction pose different problems when you go out on a call?
They absolutely do. Some of the old construction of houses was called a balloon construction. Essentially just means there's an area for fire to travel from the basement all the way right up to the attic. And those houses tend to go up pretty quick. So we have to make sure that, we know where those are and what they're going to, the ability of those to go up in flames pretty quick. That's why we need to get there as fast as possible and try to get to that fire. As far as new construction, typically people think, well, new construction's got to be better. Unfortunately, usually it's an easier way to build the building. It doesn't necessarily make it safer for, fires and firefighters in general. A lot of it's lightweight construction that, after a couple of minutes of fire tends to break down and collapse. And even with, in the old days when you made, let's say, furniture, it was wood. Well, wood puts off a smoke. But now they're building with all the, plastics and everything. And one of the big gases that comes off of plastic is cyanide gas. And I think everybody's well aware of what that will do to you. And they burn, hotter. So even though it seems like it's a newer building, we're still, we change on how we got to use our tactics because they're going to burn hotter. They're going to burn faster. And like I said, some of it's lightweight construction that will break down, quicker.
So there's a lot of things you're learning every year. There's, some sort of new techniques or at least things that that you have to be aware of when you're entering any building or go to a fire situation.
Absolutely. With the state and our license, we're actually required to have continuing education every year. So I would say within, the year, at a minimum, you're having a class at least twice a month for the fire aspect. And then, we also have to maintain our medical license also. So, yeah, we're... you think the training ends when you get out of the academy, but we have it every day.
Well, you answered my question, because I drive on Murray Ridge occasionally too, and I will go over the sort of the overpass, and I'll look over and I'll see this sort of firehouse block area, and that's where some training takes place, I guess, as you
correct
mentioned.
That's out there in Elyria Township, and what it is, it's a building that we can use to do the flashover simulators. We do it, obviously we're doing it for civilians and outside people, but mainly it's for our guys, you know, to go out there and train so they can the brand new guys that just come on, we'll take them out there and run them through there. There's opportunities to do search and rescues. There's rappelling. There's forcible entry doors that are out there. So it's quite a, you know, great area for us to get some of this, you know, hands-on training, but not actually in a fire situation.
Right. Occasionally you'll do those where we get news stories where there'll be a controlled burn. You know, there's a building that's no longer needed, and then it's a chance for firefighters, as you say, to kind of have real experience going on. Those occasionally take place too.
Correct. With those, there's a lot of EPA things that we have to maintain because of what they're going to be burning off. So it's a lot harder to do those. Plus you have to, you know, if there's neighbors. So this gives us an opportunity where we can go out there and burn and not have to worry about, you know, going through all those steps.
If there's neighbors, he says. But I know that. I guess that would be if you wake up one day and you see all the fire trucks next door and you realize what's going on over there. But it's a continuing education, things that people learn. As you mentioned, that Fire Ops 101, that you have people that you have select people that'll be a part of that. Kind of give them an idea. Here's what we do. And it gives them a better insight to know, you know, what it takes to be a firefighter. Again, you have that special event coming up on Friday for one of your coworkers. Talk about it again. How do we get information on that? What's the best way to do that?
Their tickets are at station number one. Anybody wants to go down there, they can stop by, you know, obviously between 8 and 4:30 or sometime after that, and pick up tickets there, and there's flyers. But there's also a phone number that they can call, is 440-935-2751, and they can get contact with people there, and they'll get tickets for them also.
Okay. Dean Marks, president of Elyria Firefighters Local 474, thanks for stopping in. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.